use of the earth for us. One of the three passages from baptism, Mark 16, that's what we do with text. I'm not sure where the earth for us is confused. You already opened the current title before. See, our position is the reality is necessary and occurs prior to the realization of the ultimate salvation and forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So if we literally admit the reality of Jesus' death on our behalf, our dying of Jesus, our actually being identified with him, is necessary for that salvation. So now I'm going to put a similar picture. I can compare these two things. That's talking about the use of English language in Greek. If the person with common sense should recognize that the thing that's being concerned with here in terms of producing the real fact, meaning the real salvation, is not the figure of the reality of Jesus' death. And that's the point we're trying to make. To keep saying that we're saying that it's figure to salvation is above. It is figure to salvation in the sense that the death, the going down in the water picture of death, is not. You know, Jesus is death, burial, and resurrection. It's at that point, it's a symbol and has certain themes of peace associated with it. There are two primary motifs, of Adam and God. The going down, I have to say, the going down in baptism is a picture of the death and the burial. We have to say that explicitly, but we know that by the end of the passage. So if you like to make down that point, I'll pick one. You're crazy. But you don't think going down in the water is not a picture of the death and burial. I don't like the judgment day upon Adam's mind. But the fact is, in the use of the symbol, it's obvious that the Spirit of God is saying the picture is a picture of death. Now, what is the second aspect of the movie coming up out of the water? That's a picture of resurrection. But, now, with that, it's a figure, a life figure, okay? It goes to the next location, okay? It's a figure of his burial and a figure of his death. But it doesn't say that the going into the water is corresponds to the death, and that the coming out of the water corresponds to the life. And you know that by implicit, necessary, implicit interpretation. And that's a good example of proper biblical deduction. But the text doesn't necessarily say that again. Okay. Now we ask a question. The water is used, is there a picture of washing? Well, it doesn't specifically say, no, it's not given, is a figure of washing. I create a little less confession. There is, however, enough evidence in Scripture to establish that the baptism is related to our ceremonies, where the washing was intrinsic to those things. Here's your gift, purification of the Old Testament, are called a variety of baptisms. And that's like in Hebrews, they call them a variety of washings. Baptism is called a washing. Because when you baptize many things, you immerse them for the purpose of washing, or dying, those are the two primary usages. They have all kinds of significance. A ship drowning was called being baptized. So the point I'm trying to make is that I believe that he has a picture of water, and it's intrinsic to the usage of other things. So I don't have to go to the bathroom and have it say it is a likeness of water. It's obviously intrinsic to the point. So I answered that one. Okay. Also regarding its necessity, symbols are not necessary for the reality of that opposition. I have answered that point by saying that that comment of the use of symbols. The usage of symbols often implies that we establish and prove that the symbol is not something that's necessary. We have proof that regarding the thief on the cross, and the same language is used in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, that in a question, the Trinity, does Mark 1, 4 teach that baptism is necessary for forgiveness? That answer is yes. In his speech, he says no, not a tradition. Or he says, I don't know. Well, maybe it doesn't apply to everyone. Well, I can tell you this, it applies to Jesus Christ. Because he was baptized for John's baptism. And he's the pattern of all of us. So if Jesus did it, you benefit. And he applied it to everybody that time. And a person who refused to be baptized by John's baptism was effectively saying, as the Pharisees did, we reject the preaching of the new covenant. That's what they were afraid of the gospel. And he said, you bring your vipers, because you always resist the Holy Spirit of God. He condemned them. He said, pray for the person that didn't repent. But he's saying that baptism is not a picture of things other than the death of Christ. Well, baptism was repentance. The genitive, which is the abdominal genitive, is an adjective. But in the context of the two words together, those, the but with that is pertaining to the message. This should be a general contextual purpose of what our interpretation. And I have to say that this is that we give evidence and let people judge what we have to interpret it. What this group is, the view of the evidence, okay, we have a view of evidence, a main evidence. The chariot associated with the Hebrew word is associated with repentance. Therefore, it's a picture of repentance. As we're dying to the old one, the old man is put off. When we repent, it's a change of mind. That's a knowing, that's a change of your mind. Repentance is a changing of the mind, changing of the mind. You no longer do this, and you do this. Baptism of repentance is also a picture of repentance. I divided it from the context of the two words next to each other. Deal with the evidence. That's true of that gap. How can I get any evidence? Colossians 2:14. What is in Colossians 2:14? Why not the canonize the one that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the light, nailing it to the cross? That's the first part of the sermon, 2,000 years ago. You say it has nothing to do with our sin being forgiven. We'll find out on the day of judgment. That's all I can say. What exists, which exists, because the ordinances are against me. But that's the definition of our sin. The ordinances are against me. But the current person, I transgress the law. That law, which is against me, was put on the cross of Jesus Christ. That's when my salvation was procured. And a current person and made certain to be caught was going to find that current stuff. So the thing with the debate in terms of the finding current, where was the first actual application of that which was procured in the death of Christ, possessed and enjoyed by me? Where did I first enjoy the benefits of that which was procured 2,000 years ago? It's when I first believed, because even belief is one of God. John chapter 5 verse 1. Stephen out there in corporate representatives, how many believes? That proves that they have been born of God. So the man of sin is not believing in Jesus, but we're obeying to be baptized. He's not baptized yet. The fact that he has real faith is going to produce the baptism. It could work. The fact that he's enjoyed or possesses or sins, simple baptism, that's a good work, shows that one of them proves his genuine faith. So now we know. This man had genuine faith before the baptism. Because the baptism proves that it was genuine faith. It was a faith working by love that produced baptism. So now we prove that it's legitimate law, it's legitimate faith, and it's routine baptism. It's not destiny. The baptism proves my baptism, I was baptized. My baptism is a proof that my faith prior to baptism is legitimate. Therefore, I'm glorified when that faith is manifest for John chapter 5. That's the argument Stephen presented, and he has not disproved that. He's shown that because of the proposition that you're not in any way enjoying the benefits of the new covenant. But to the point of that difference, there's another way of describing this proposition. We have disproved that by that argument. We do enjoy the benefits of the new birth. Evidence is by faith. John 5 says, I was born again because of evidence, real faith that is proved by baptism. Now, the baptism is a necessary work to prove that it's legitimate faith. That's a different proposition. That's a different debate. The issue of necessity is a different debate. But what we have proved is that in my case, when I am baptized, I have proved that I did possess the new birth prior to my baptism. I proved that in my case, when I am baptized. John 5 establishes. Colossians 2:14 asserts that my sins, the ordinances which were against me, is the definition of mine. It's against me. How can it be against me? Do I resist? Because the text says that God sees me in the future and says the ordinances are against you now, Fred. When Jesus was dying on that cross, God made a decree, Fred, the Pharaoh, you are not born yet. These ordinances are against you right now. That's the present tense when Jesus was dying. They were against me individually. And that's when they were nailed on the cross. And that's the sense in which we believe our sins were forgiven in Jesus Christ. What is the application made initially as the new birth, which is proved by real faith, producing good works? What good works are necessary for salvation? We believe that's a very difficult thing for men to judge. God will judge all men. The Lord knows whether they're his. But all men depart from the victim. Rather than be baptized in Scripture, that's our position. Obey the Lord and doubt him. Well, the reason to doubt is salvation. That may be an evidence of your reprobation. Obey the Lord in all of his commands. And to the degree that you do not, evidence that you may not be saved. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You keep saying that this really happens when we're baptized. You keep saying the same according to something that occurred 2,000 years ago, and which is a final and personal evidence of that, and it's pictured in baptism. Our position is totally valid. It's totally plausible. It's consistent with the Jesus of modern language. It is a possible interpretation. Now, you say your position is the correct interpretation, not the substance. Well, the problem is, it says that we were buried with him by baptism of the dead. And again, buried with him. And we believe that the book is concerning that when Jesus was buried, we were buried. Well, you prove that by going to another path that was established in the present. In Romans chapter 5 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you have the two places in the New Testament where Adam is discussed in terms of the theology, the biblical theology of substitutionary atonement and vicarious representation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Christ shall all be made alive. And we disagree with that. We can discuss this afterwards. Verse 22, 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam, all died. So go back here and again, concept and circle. Go to what's out here. And now, I'm not trouble. You're the end. You're God. Where are you all? In Adam, Paul. What happened to Adam? He died. So what do you think that happened to Adam? Adam is none of them in him. Is that not what the text is saying? Adam died. Something happened to me when Adam died. Something happened to you when Adam died. And for those that are saved, for those who will be with Christ all eternity, when Jesus died, they died too. In the same sense, when Adam died, all died. So when Christ died, the elect died. Now, how did God die? Did they die naturally? Let me ask you a question. Did we die? Actually, pay tithes? Abraham standing there, and as Melchizedek was standing there, he opened up the wall, and was Levi standing next door, giving tithes to Melchizedek? No. But did he do it? He was born his father, Abraham, exactly what the text says. On the representation of his father Abraham represented him. To the degree that the scripture says Levi was doing it, that's the true name of God. That's an example of the kind of representation. Substitution and we see all of this in Adam, all of this in Christ. So what we have proven, ladies and gentlemen, is that I was in Christ for the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1. I proved that I was in Christ when he died. I proved that I was in Christ when he was buried. That's true. And that requires an incredible understanding of these passages. The fact that the ordinance is nailed against God for 2,000 years ago is a strong conceptual argument that the other things. The reality of the other thing, not the symbol, but the reality of the other things, that the symbol of baptism was to also occur at that time. They occurred when Jesus died. Because that's what this is all detailed. You know, let's not look at 1 Peter chapter 3:21 and see no one, and see why baptism is forget about Jesus' Correspond to the death of Jesus.